And I'm going to be looking here this morning. Almost February's gone, you know. Year's going by quick. And we're going to be looking at the blessings of God given to the believer. Blessings to God. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Paul had already read that. And like I said earlier, that it is one complete sentence, literally. And it's a praise. You ever sit down or stand up, or you're walking or talking with God, or even laying down, you know, and you're just praising the Lord. You're praising the Lord. You are blessed. And that's what that first word says in verse 3. Blessed. We are blessed. And actually, God is blessed, because we're going to find out here in a moment how God praises us and we praise Him in return. We're going to look in John's Gospel, because we're all have the same spirit. Do you realize how powerful what you have in yourself here today? You have the power to unleash against the forces of the evil. You are greater than the forces of evil in this world, because you have the same spirit that God has dwelling in you. So my point is to say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Getting in that we can overcome. We can be overcomers. God gives us the grace to move on when roadblocks happen, when ice comes on the ground. And I think there's not a person here this past week who's almost slipped and fell on ice. I said to somebody the other day as a witness to him, I said, you know what? Don't be looking up, be looking down. Make sure you don't slip on the ice. He kind of laughed, and, you know, and said in all good taste. Yes, our hearts, our minds, and our ears should be listening with our eyes upward. But there is a man named Will Ellen Drungel. Back in the 1900s, he had written this poem called The Bridge Builder. The Bridge Builder, I read this over 30 years ago. As a youth pastor in Pennsylvania, I saw this plaque on the wall, and I was like, and I talked to the guy who built the gymnasium there, very rich man, and, you know, I preached from the gymnasium every day to the people coming in, and, you know, they enjoyed it, I enjoyed it, but this old man was a bridge builder. He built a bridge in his mind, and this poem, I'm going to read it to you. An old man going a lone highway came along at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm, and deep and wide, though, which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, and the sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. The old man said to his fellow pilgrim near, "You are wasting strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending of the day. You never again will pass this way again. You've crossed the chasm and deep and wide. You build you this bridge at the evening tide." The builder lifted his old gray head in wisdom. It's his good friend. "In the path I have come," he said, "there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him." So we are bridge builders. All of us are bridge builders. It doesn't matter where we have been, where we're coming from, there is always a bridge from our hearts to the Lord for people. We are the people here today that, as I remember being in Alaska and the huge mountains around us, and my wife and I were taking our little dog for a walk, and I was like, this is God's country, and we were walking on dirt road, and there had been a heavy rain in the Aleutian Islands, and the river had just gone by and gorged in a deep area, and there were rocks we could walk on to leap over to the other side. But God has for us a bridge. Sometimes we have to lay ourselves down, like you heard that song like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Remember Simon Garfunkel's song? Beautiful song, you know? And we have to lay down our lives because there are people in our lives today that we need to lay down our lives for. And they may walk on us. They may jump on us. It may hurt a little bit and cause pain and suffering, but we're there. And so we are bridges today in our lifetime. Life is like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. It goes by very quickly. And we should be thankful for the precious promises of God's word. But I want to encourage everybody here today. This church is precious in God's sight. Each one of you is precious. He knows what you're going through today. And, you know, only you and God know that. And he loves you. We never forget that he loves you so much that 2,000 years ago, he knows. Some of you are empty. You're missing loved ones. You wish there was something there, but there isn't. Fill it with God today. Fill it with the Lord. You know, it's easier said than done at times but when we go to his word, we have comfort. We can have comfort there. It says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You know, there's eight blessings we're going to be looking at here as a believer. While we're here, I want to encourage everybody. We all are going to be blessed. It says, blessed, that means praise be God the Father. And he has the idea of that he is our father, our daddy, our loved one. We all have had dads. There might be somebody here who doesn't even know who their dad is. I've preached at churches like that. I said, you have a heavenly father. You have a father that can take that place. Don't ever forget that. There's a lot of divorces, a lot of issues like that. We've all had a human father, but yet this is a spiritual father and is built in the family. You have a father, you have a son, that's Jesus Christ. It says, blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's, you know, the Christ, the anointed one. He's Jesus. He's our Messiah. He is Lord. He's Lord of all, King of kings, Lord of lords, and one day we will more than willingly, because we are blessed in him, bow down before him. And this life will be gone. We won't remember it. All eyes will be wiped from their tears, sorrows, sickness, problems. That will be all gone. But what we have now, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are doing today our Father's will, which will be done in heaven. Remember the Lord's Prayer. And remember that it is a pattern to follow, but thy will be done on earth as in heaven. If I give anybody comfort today, just remember we are doing his will right now in heaven, positionally with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, right next page ever says, and he hath raised us up together because of the resurrection. Once we are saved, we are risen us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means positionally, we are seated with Christ in the heavens. Jesus right now is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Where have the martyrs gone? People have died before. They're before God's throne. The best place to be. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 17 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We have the freedom in our church today. Only to use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love and serve one another. In my pastor's corner, I was talking about, you know, how it is in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, that the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And that's how wars start. You have a war going on in your train right now. People getting killed. Children. You got babies dying. You got mothers, fathers dying, you have soldiers dying, and they're crying out because of a dictator coming in and just telling them what to do. They weren't even prepared for it. The premier there, they thought, no, Russia's not going to attack. And that's a warning to Christians today. Be on your guard. Be careful. Do not let emotions get in the way. I got emotions. We all should cry. It's a healthy thing. It's a good thing to laugh. It's a good thing to mourn. It's a good thing to weep with those who weep. But be careful. Be careful. Get your armor on. Be careful. So that's why there is wars, like it says in James chapter 4, because wars begin because of the flesh. Wanting to have something that somebody else already has, the envy. That's why Russia wants the Ukraine, because it used to be part of a Russia. It's not part of NATO, so they thought they could go in anyway. And it's only going to get worse. That man's not going to back down. Pray for people in Taiwan, too, and the Christians in Ukraine, too, as well. Because there's, hate to say this, but we have a weak president. And when weakness happens, like an adversary comes right in. He sniffs out fear. He knows where you're weak. Be strong in the Lord and the courage of his might. It says here in the Spirit, only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love and serve one another. Love, yes. Can't go wrong with love. There's nothing better than love. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That means emptying of yourself, being filled with the Spirit of God and God's love, not human love. But if ye bite and devour one another, it has the idea of two dogs going after one another and biting each other and then devouring, killing actually the flesh in its extreme way can actually kill. And that's why it says in James chapter 4, be wary. Be careful, James 4, 1 through 5. But take ye, if ye bite and devour one another, and take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. There's a whole sermon behind that, but I don't want to get sidetracked here. I want to stay in the Spirit, what God wants me to say this morning. So we're going back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So we have the triune God. We have the God the Father. We have Christ. We have the Spirit. We are blessed. We are given that as blessings. And we see here in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what's so beautiful? I'm going to turn to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. We have been given the Holy Spirit once we were saved, right? We have the Spirit. Do you realize what it says here, what Jesus had to say in John chapter 14, 16 through 20? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a comforter, that he may abide in you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. That means Jesus loves us. He really does. Even though this is written thousands of years ago, we still know that that Spirit is present in us. And he says, verse 19 and 20, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, and ye shall live also. Verse 20, I want you to listen to this real carefully. This is so beautiful. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, number one. Number two, and ye in me. Ye in me, that means all of us are in Christ, and I in you. Works both ways. So the same Spirit, the spiritual blessings that we found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, we are partakers in the Holy Spirit. We have God dwelling in us, something very powerful. And we need to tap those resources more and more, because a lot of us thirst after righteousness and we're so dry at times. And we need to go ahead and take that drink from the Holy Spirit, so to speak, and let it just quench our thirst that we have, because we're dry, we're panting. We need that. And the idea here too is, so we look at here that we are seated together with Christ positionally. Now we are spiritually, and we have the Holy Spirit. We're just one breath away from being present with Him, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So moving right along, there are the great blessings that He has. We already have it. All we have to do is use it. Then we see here in verse 4, God has chosen us. According to He hath chosen us, Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. In other words, in times past, the irresistible grace that God has given us draws us to Him, that in times past He knew before the foundations of the world that we would come to Him. He knew that. And it has nothing to do with God chooses some to go to hell and some go to heaven. God chose us. He knew, as the idea, He knew in the past who would come and who wouldn't. But He has a sovereign plan through the dispensations of times. We'll look at that in a minute. So He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. And it has the idea here of it means to be set apart or consecrated to God. What it says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and flesh and the spirit, perfecting us in the holiness and the fear of God. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that ye may put on the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. So we are to be holy and without blame before Him in love. And it has to be the idea of being free from sin, from filth, from you know, actually like being dirty, having spots on yourself. And so we need not to be defiled. In other words, we are sinners. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and we're confessing your sins daily before the throne of grace. It's beautiful. And we are blessed, and we are praising God because He foreknew what was going to happen. And here we are presently at this day. I believe it's the 27th of February. And down the road, we are going to be, once we go home with the Lord, we are already there. Now, today, it's just a matter of time before these bodies die off. And we're so thankful that God understands that. And what a joy that is. What a rejoice it is also to know that those who have gone before us have lived godly lives. And I've got to read this because this is one of my favorite songs about people going on before us. It's called The Three Wooden Crosses, written by Doug Johnson and Kim Edward Williams. Randy Travis sings this song. It says, the farmer and a teacher and a hooker and a preacher riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One headed for vacation and one for a higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. The driver never ever saw the stop sign. 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There were three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's why when you leave this world behind you, it's what you leave behind when you go. The farmer left a harvest, a home, and 80 acres. The faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And the teacher left behind her wisdom in the midst of lots of children. Did her best to give them all a better start. And the preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he laid the blood-stained Bible in the hooker's hand, there are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave the world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. Behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer, bless the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we all know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind when you go. It's one of my favorite songs when I see crosses along the road. Kimberly and I have driven, and you've probably all driven all over the place, and you see wooden crosses along the road. Doesn't take long before you know that God loves us, God cares. Things happen, and my heart goes out to this church. It really does, because I love y'all. But getting back here to God's word, it says, according he hath chosen him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So we are blameless before him in love. Thank God for that. And so we move along here to verse 5. It says, having predestined us into the adoption as children. Thank God we are adopted into his family. You know, taking somebody who's been adopted and putting them into a family. You forget about all those things in the past. You put behind all those things that happened. I know Kimberly and I worked with children who are teenagers there for a couple years. They had a really rough. Parents didn't want them. They came from bad backgrounds. The state took them over. And then some of them had been through so many adoption agencies. This makes you cry to think about it. But yet we have a Heavenly Father that realizes that we are his adopted children, you know, from the Jewish household to the Gentiles. And we're just going to get into that with Acts chapter 10. But the Spirit told, now you got to preach this passage here. We should be predestined unto this with the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his good pleasure that he adopted us into his family. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different places. And yet, you know, reminds me of an archaeologist many years ago who was trying to prove that there was an Ephesus. You know, Ephesus is located there in Turkey. And it used to be a Christian country at one time. And then the Islamic people took it over. And now you would never know, but you still have churches there. You still have the same Spirit working in people's lives. But it happened with John Tuttle Wood, 1863. He had a very hard time. You know, life is very difficult. It's very hard, as we all know. But, you know, he was discouraged. There were, number one, the British government was just about to give up on him. He's saying, okay, we can give you a grant for so long. Well, he was out there for years looking for the city of Ephesus, couldn't find it. He had to deal with malaria, with thieves, with the sickness. It was people stealing. When you're an archaeologist, I've worked with archaeologists, you know, the biggest problem is people coming in and messing with your site. Just stay out, you know. So they've had to have guards, you know, and even the guards get paid off sometimes. And I've heard stories about that too. So it's just like almost a lose-lose, but with God, it's a win-win. It says this in 1869, he never gave up. It was marshy lands, so you had malaria because you had the mosquitoes. It was hot. It was, you know, go out there, it was just brutal. And so he worked and worked, and believe it or not, 16 feet down, he found these drums that mentioned Ephesus. And, you know, he got on his knees and he wept and he thanked God. You know, we should all be diggers. We should be looking for those treasures like a dog does for a bone. You've heard, you know, that expression, that person's dogged, man. You know, we all should be like dogs, digging for those bones, you know, and digging for those good things that God has treasures. It's like that lost pearl in the field, you know, the pearl was supposed to be, you know what? The word of God, the parable, you know, wiser to go out and dig for that pearl than anything else. So we see here that moving right along that, you know, that we are accepted in the beloved. You know, to be accepted and knowing that, you know, if you're an adopted child, that's something special. And you got parents, you have God, our God, who's accepted us. Who, when we have problems, we can go to Him. And as a little kid, it reminds me of little Sam back there. You know, you see him saying, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Father. You know, little footprints just running along, those sweet little eyes that grin from ear to ear. You look at little Sammy, he's so sweet. But God looks at His children just running to Him, little footsteps. Daddy, I'm here. I love you. And His big arms come around. Oh, man. You remember when you were young, right? You had those little arms that you got, even at Evan. You know, some of the people sitting there are reversing psychologically back to more childish thinking because they're getting so old. And it's so cute to look at them. And it's so special sharing God's word. And sometimes you don't know if they're all the way there, but they have like a childlike faith. Half of them do. And they're just thinking, and you know, you can't think but love those people over there because Jesus loves us. And pray about the kids we're trying to reach over at the high school too. Oh my goodness, the problems they got over there. The families, oh yeah, there's problems. But I'm very thankful for the high school, what they're allowing to go on there. And people work so hard over there. So getting back to this, so we are accepted and beloved. In verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption. In other words, we were bought. We were bought with that redemption through His blood. And every time that we go through the Lord's Supper, we can think about that redemption, which was bought for us. It says here, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I given it unto you upon the altar to make it an atonement for your souls, and it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls. It says that in Leviticus 17:11. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, this is through Christ Jesus. For you were bought and redeemed with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So we don't belong to our own. We belong to Him. And we realize we are a living sacrifice, totally accepted unto Him. We are thinking today, oh, how I ache, oh, how I yearn for things in my life and I don't have them right now. But you know what? We are living sacrifices. We are living sacrifices that are totally acceptable to God, which is our reasonable. That means it has the idea that it is reasoned with God through the Spirit that we have in, since we're in these bodies, that we are positionally with Him in heaven, and we have Christ dwelling in us. We have the Father dwelling in us. Why? Because we have the same Spirit. You take your courses in theology, that's all it comes down to. It saved you about $200. You don't have to go through a Christian college to learn that. Okay? So we have the triune God dwelling within us in the Holy Spirit. We, God, you know, rejoice, praise God. There's nothing that's going to happen in your life unless God allows it to happen, because He predestined, He knew this was going to happen. And He loves us so much. So we have redemption through His blood. And this is what Paul is saying, through the forgiveness of sins. And it has the idea, that means to forgive means to send off, to send away, to release, let it go, let it go. If you got issues with somebody, just let it go. I had an issue with somebody this past week, and I was just like, I'm just going to let it go. Why? I don't want to be carrying, you know, it says in the Hebrews 12:1-2, that we should not be burdened with those sins that so easily beset us. It has the idea of a runner running, and he's maybe has some ankle weights on him. Sometimes people do carry weights on them to be strong. But runners wouldn't do that. So what do? They take off those weights and they get rid of them. Put it behind you. Press on. Press on. Yeah, you're going to have more. We're going to have problems as a church here. We're going to band together. We're going to press on. There's so many blessings that God has in store for us. I got to get myself out of the way. And, you know, says here, according to the riches of his grace, and it has the idea here, without measure. You know, the riches of his grace has the idea there's just so many riches out there. You know, if we just constantly pray in the Spirit, and I'm saying this all the time, Lord, help me walk in the Spirit so I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because it wars in me all the time, just like you all, and I need to stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. And as we're moving along here, verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. It has the idea of prudence is how to use wisdom. You know, how are we going to use it? Well, there are many ways of doing it. But yet, in God's mystery, his will, you know, look at verse 9. Having made known unto the mystery of his will. You know what the great mystery is? Here it goes. It's Jesus dying on the cross. And that's what we need to share with people. Time is running out. Say, Pastor, I don't like to witness. I'm shy. I don't know what to say. I stumble all over myself. I get the sweats. I get nervous. I get so busy. Sometimes I just don't want to do it because it's too cold out there. It's too hot out there. There are a million excuses. But you know what the Lord laid on my heart years ago? The Word of God is like a seed. You take it, you throw it all over the place. If you can't witness verbally, just take some tracts and lay them around. God's Word never goes void. The mystery of Him dying on the cross for our sins should be in that track. You don't know what to say, just leave a track there. Don't leave them on the windshields, of course, and don't leave them in places where, you know, you get in trouble and be reproached, or people speaking evil of you. But so what? They're going to speak evil of you anyway. No. It's just, you just put them where you're supposed to. So having made known the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in dispensation has the idea of a household, time, God's timing is right when even today we live in the age of grace, and that today he is letting his church grow. I think God has taken the umbrella away from this country of protection. I really have. You know, we need to really pray that for our leaders, like has been prayed here before, they'll have wisdom and be a man or a woman and lead. And we don't need somebody who's just going to be changing their minds all the time. Or, you know, take a strong stand, work with the people, be for the people, we the people. It's supposed to be, they're supposed to serve us, not the other way around. Fullness of times, we might get gathered together in all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have attained an inheritance. And has the idea that we have an inheritance that cannot be taken away. I had to deal with somebody not long ago. Somebody had called me and said, you know what? It wasn't fair what I got for my inheritance. Some other people in my family got more. And I thought about what it said in the Bible, beware of covetousness. Be careful about that. That's wanting what somebody else has. I said, your mommy, your daddy gave you that. That is yours. Look at it as a blessing. But the idea of an inheritance, we have inherited everything that you see around us, the universe. They said the universe continues to expand. They can't even count the galaxies. God's time is just so big. That's why when things happen to us and God allows these gifts that cometh from above, like it says in James, it says every good and perfect gift that cometh from above. That is not talking about good things, it's talking about trials, because look in the context of the scripture. Be careful, never pull anything out of context. Leave it in there. It has the idea of when God allows good gifts. Why? To glorify him. That spirit that dwells in us glorifies God back in acceptance, even though it hurts and we, you know, crumble at times. God is still there for us because Jesus went through everything that we could possibly go through. So we have a God that cares. And that's some place where I still don't understand. I still don't get it, but I know he loves me. That's the important thing. I know that he loves me. So we obtain an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him that worked with all things after the counsel of His own will. So it's His will. What is God's will? His counsel, His wisdom, His prudence, these blessings that He gives us, that we should be to the praise of His glory. It goes back to the praise. And guess what? God is praising us. We're glorifying Him. He doesn't praise the person, but He praises the Spirit in us. Don't confuse that. It's the Holy Spirit. When you have that joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you sense that, that's the praises of God going back and forth inside of us. That is something that will never be lost. And when we talk and we pray to the Lord and we sense the Holy Spirit just working in us, ready to burst through us like a flower opening up, we can be thankful for that. In whom also trusted after you heard the word of truth, verse 13, in the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed. Remember that time when you were saved? You accepted Christ in your heart and you changed. And that again, the Holy Spirit, that blessed praise in you, brought forth, and people looked at, I know some people in my family thought I lost it. They're like, what are you talking about? Go back to your church. You know, you remember you're brought up in a church, you know, pray to the saints, pray, you know, confess your sins to a priest. No, this is different. I have a priest. It's Jesus Christ. I don't have to pray to the saints. I can pray to Jesus. It's all different. A lot of them didn't like it. Some were saved. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. It has the idea of a kingly seal, a signet ring. Have you ever had a signet ring before? I inherited one years ago. Anyway, it has the emblem, the Davis emblem on it. You take, wax, hot wax, and you seal a letter. God's sealing you. God has sealed you. You belong to Him. You cannot lose your salvation. Then it says here, which is the earnest. It has the idea of our inheritance. It has the coming here of a bank account. That God has already deposited His love in our hearts. We belong to Him. In other words, He has a heavenly bank account. That's why it says in Scripture that we should store our treasure where our heart is, so will be our treasure. You know, we have choices to make, so we store that in heaven. We have that. We have our earnest, the down payment He has done for us on the cross, redemption and the purchased possession of the praise of His glory. You know, He died for us, rose again. We will one day rise again. This time here, I'm thinking about for the praise of His glory. So every time you get the joy of the Lord, remember it's the Spirit of God that's reacting to our Heavenly Father. That we have the triune God dwelling within us through the Spirit of God. And we should be very thankful for that. That we are the blessings given to God. So we see the eight areas. God is great blessings, heavenly blessings. He has chosen us to be holy and blameless. God adopted us as sons and His daughters. God has redeemed us. Forgiveness of our sins. God's given us wisdom and understanding. God reveals His mystery of His will to us. God has given us an inheritance. And last but not least, God has sealed us. And also, He has given us the inheritance that we have in Him. Such a great salvation. And you know, I should never take this for granted. You know, and I feel selfish sometimes if I'm not obedient to the Lord and I don't witness to people. You know, what I do Thursday and Friday nights when I can't, well, I had to cancel Thursday night, but Saturday, just go out and put out gospel tracts. I hang them on people's doorknobs. I just run around, like, you know, get out of the car. It's cold out here. And I just run over, put some tracts. You know what? You know, that was the easy part. That's the easy part. Come on out sometime and enjoy yourself, you know? I didn't have to say anything. Nobody opened the door. It was like, what are you doing here? You know, get this thing off my door, you know? No. You know, most people are like, I don't want to go out there and see people. But you know what? God does the rest. He does the rest. You know? Count your blessings, name them one by one. To the praise and honor and glory of Jesus Christ this day. Just praise Him. You know, we got everything going for us. We do. God has a plan. Did things work out for Kimberly and I over the years? No, they didn't. We had other plans. Have we suffered? Yes, we have. Each one of you, yes, you have. I got that. But you know, we have one thing in common. God loves us so much. And He calls us blessed. He is blessed. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that we will continue to follow Your footprints and do what You would have us to do. We just ask You, Father, that You would just continue to bless us. And thank You for Your blessings. We're very thankful. Thank You that You love us so much. Be with Your people in Your love, because it's a love that we all need. We need that so much. We thank You for bridges that were built. We thank You, Lord, for crosses that we see along the highway. We thank You for people that dig. People dig deep. Don't give up. You know, they look for the precious Word of God. Lord, help us to dig deep. Help us, Lord, to stay strong like a house was built upon the rock and not the sand. We need Your grace at this time. We need Your help as we pray every day, because we can't go this day without You. We thank You for the loved ones and all Your blessings and all these things. We pray for Your blessings with the meeting afterwards here. And all those that are here are invited to stay if they like. Love to have you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.